The thing is, okay, I didn't even know when I started watching this movie, but it points it out pretty clearly in the beginning that this is after the series is over.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, which I haven't seen the original series, so apparently in the end of it, he quit being captain of the Enterprise?
The series ended before their five-year mission was up, so...
Oh, okay,
they
so...
basically said they promoted him, in essence.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was an admiral in the beginning of the show.
He's an admiral through most of this series.
This is Joshua David Bellin, author of the young adult science fiction adventure Survival Colony 9, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Travel forward with us, 300 years into the future, to confront the greatest mystery ever to threaten mankind. We are aboard a huge starship called the Enterprise. This is the return of Captain Kirk.
An alien object of unbelievable destructive power is less than 3 days away from this planet.
Mr. Spock.
I offer my services as science officer.
Dr. McCoy. Scotty. And joining them on their mission, Commander Will Decker and Navigator Ilea.
I'm sorry.
That you left Delta 4? Or that you didn't even say goodbye?
Get us back in impulse power. Full reverse.
Wormhole distortion has overloaded the main power systems. The main phaser order.
This, then, is the epic journey of the Starship Enterprise, traveling to the outer limits of time and space to challenge a vast, living machine of destruction. The human adventure is just beginning. Star Trek, the motion picture.
But this is like blast from the past. Seriously, like,
oh, yeah.
This well, movie is old.
Alien 2 has the same time frame.
What was it, 74?
No, 78, I think, was Alien.
So this movie's 8 years. I thought that was 70.
No, it came out after Star Wars. Star Wars was 77.
Oh.
Star Wars pretty much greenlit this to be a movie.
Yeah.
Because it was slated to be a new TV series.
And then they were like, oh, look what Star Wars did. Let's make a movie. That's genius.
Yep.
And it was. And then they made the movie.
Yeah, true. All right, here we go. In 3, 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. This is going to be a franchise episode where we feature Star Trek. And in tonight, and tonight we have myself, Richard, as well as...
Lenny.
Jacob.
Jonathan.
And Logan.
And we're going to start with a motion picture, the first of the movies. We are not actually going to look at the TV series. However, we will probably talk about some of the series, especially when we get to Wrath of Khan, because you kind of have to watch Space Seed to kind of get into Wrath of Khan. So that'll be some of our homework. But we're also doing this because one of our friends, he said that he would come on and rejoin us, Mr. Rene Perez with Star Trek 2, 3, and 4. We can't figure out why he didn't want to come back on for the motion picture. But so, Renee, we're getting there. This is the first one. So
I can figure out why.
I've already got that figured out.
This one is basically 2.5 years after the end of the five-year mission, basically, is how they couch it in the movie. Because it said he's been away from the Enterprise for 2.5 years, and Captain Kirk has been promoted to an admiral. And then he goes back and wants the ship back, which has been completely refitted, redesigned almost from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even know where to go. When he goes down the hallways, he's looking for where, and the jealous ex-captain is looking at him like, I know you don't know where you're going.
True. But the same cast of crews, we have Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Sulu, Uhura, Chekhov, Scotty. And then we have two main new ones, which is Decker and Ilaya.
Aaliyah.
Thank you.
Aaliyah. And you're also forgetting Nurse Capel. She came back.
Chapel?
She was Chapel. Whatever.
I can pronounce Chapel.
Deanna Troi's mother from The Next Generation.
Yeah. The nurse is also back from the series.
She's a doctor now.
Norman Rand is there, too. She's in the transporter room.
Right.
I forgot. Sorry, Lynn.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say...
Let's mention, I've watched TOS, some of The Next Generation... Quite a bit of Deep Space Nine, all of Enterprise. Lynn's done Next Generation, some TOS.
Some Deep Space Nine, Deep not Space. Very much TOS, but a little bit. More TOS? Like when I was too young Original to remember series. Is the problem was I was watching that when I was a kid, and I haven't seen it since then, except for the movie now. So I'm up on the motion picture big time.
I've watched none of it.
And I also watched quite a bit of Deep Space Nine, but that's as far
except
as I got with it.
So you're experiencing these for the first time. So that's good. We get actual experience from a first-time viewer.
Congratulations. Jacob's watched some Next Generation and what else?
I've watched enough of the original series to know what's going on. I've seen all six of the original series cast movies, watched enough of the Next Generation, watched the Dominion War arc in...
That was Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. I've seen That's all I've seen. I didn't watch the beginning and didn't watch any of Voyager. Watched Not none much. Of Enterprise.
See, I enjoyed Enterprise.
Logan, you've just pretty much done the movies.
Yeah, or at least this one movie. I don't think... I've watched the new two movies. That's
The two new ones for sure. And you were too young to remember the others because I forced you guys to watch them.
I actually did not know that.
Just like my dad.
I actually did not know...
Actually, I don't think my dad even really... He never really enjoyed sci-fi. So if I did even see much Star Trek... when I was a kid... I don't know when I watched The Next Generation. I watched it all the time, but it was must have been on when he was at work. Yeah, it was definitely in syndication.
That's where I watched the original series with syndication. I didn't watch it when it was coming out. I'm not that old.
Yeah. So,
but this one is affectionately known as Star Trek, the slow motion picture. Mm-hmm. Especially with the director's cut, it's even a slower motion picture.
Yeah, they just tacked on a few extra minutes of standing there. Like, they're like, oh, you see these scenes where we had cut out of Kirk and Spock just kind of stand there eyeballing each other? We're going to put those back in and add five more minutes. The intro to this movie is longer than some movies that come out now. And I mean, I feel like if these people weren't already successful, obviously by the time they made the motion picture, they were already successful with the series.
In syndication, that became popular again. Yeah.
Yeah. So somewhat at least.
They knew
but
they hit something.
They were already in Hollywood, is what I'm trying to say. Oh, yeah. Because if you were trying to break in with this motion picture, even in the 70s, I don't think that would have flown. I mean, they had, like, you know, more going on. It was just...
It was built on nostalgia.
It was. And, like, you know, half the picture is them looking at their own ship going, ah.
True. What was that, Logan?
And another thing that was oddly long, in the DVD at least, there was that 15-minute segment of a field of stars before the menu popped.
Yeah, with just music and, like, I literally... Yeah, I watched that in super fast forward, and it still seemed long.
It happened while he was away at the moment.
Yeah.
And to me, it's definitely built on nostalgia. The main character, besides all the actors, is the Enterprise.
Sure.
That's what the movie was made for, was to see the Enterprise. And you definitely knew that because of the space porn they threw in, or starship porn, because it's slowly... Going around the Enterprise with Kirk looking at them.
Yeah, exactly. He for the first time in his life, he can't transport onto the Enterprise. So he has to take the world's, Jacob called it the world's longest shuttle ride. And then, like, you just stare at the Enterprise from every, like, they have to drive all the way around it twice to find a good parking spot.
I literally fell asleep twice during that scene.
He woke up, he's like, it's still the shuttle ride? Oh, my God.
I was expecting to wake up and go, okay, I got to back up a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, no. We're still looking.
And then I almost thought it had finished.
It's just...
Well, see, that to me was worth it because I wanted to see the ship too.
Mm-hmm.
So for the
ship, I mean,
even
for being brought out the year before I was born, the ship looked really good. Yeah. I mean, the special effects they used which I don't know what they used. They built one in a big black studio and just filmed it.
I can't remember how big the model was, but it was a pretty huge model.
It had a lot of great detail in it. Yeah, and I remember the TV show, what I've seen of it, it didn't have that kind of quality.
No.
At all, no. Did it, in their space pictures. I think that was, they were like, oh, look, we can do some element of CGI now, and, you know, let's run with it.
Let's have fun.
Yeah.
The story itself, I didn't think was too bad.
No, it's an interesting. It's kind of an interesting concept. Yeah. It's a big, scary thing coming at Earth, and they go inside of it very bravely because they don't know what's going to happen to them. And
if you haven't seen this in this many years, there are going to be spoilers, people.
Yeah.
So
I'm fixing to tell you, it's an old satellite from like before I was born that got sucked through a war. I mean, it's kind of cool. Yeah, Jacob, too. You got to tell him about the Cybertron.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, and I was talking with my brother-in-law, who is a giant Star Trek, like, has an encyclopedia of all of the Star Trek stuff ever. His dad. And so, you know, I was talking to him about it, because we both just were not fans of the movie. But if you think of it as a original series episode, it makes it much more tolerable, because that's basically what the original series episodes were. Hey, there's this big nasty thing that wants to kill us all. Let's investigate it. Hey, Spock, what do you think? Well, Jim, I think it's this. That's great. Let's fix it. Scotty, get us the hell out of here.
And then they do.
And we win.
And so, but this is the best thing. I mean, not ever seeing it before, seeing it for the first time, having no one there to analyze it for me, having no idea what's going to happen. So this is how they fix the problem in this scene. They get a captain who kind of got screwed out of his ship to get into a relationship with the computer that screwed him out of his ex-girlfriend by assimilating her.
Had a vow of celibacy.
And yes, the girlfriend was no good anymore. But the new computer version is totally interested. And so they turn him into a computer so they can have cyber sex through the galaxy. And that's how they cure the problem. Like, it was just lonely. And we were talking about it after this old satellite visited Cybertron and became sentient. You know, I'd be pissed too if I was made with 1960s technology and like as a robot, you know, trying to function in a universe as an old crappy, you know, technology robot. Because, you know, the robots from like this generation of like, you know, your iPhone would be out there picking on it, making fun of it. The little phone would be like, I have more computing power than you. I can use different voices. You don't even have a voice. What's binary anyway, you know?
Well, I have a question to pose to you. Since you guys are next generation guys, see if this is viable, and see if
I know
this
what you're
gonna
next say. Go
generation
ahead.
Was got this kernel from. Yeah, the Voyager was sucked through a black hole to a different quadrant, to a planet filled with robotic entities. They repurposed it or whatever, and built it back up, and it became sentient. Is that the beginning of the Borg?
I don't know. I think it's the beginning of the Borg idea. I can very much see where the person who came up with the Borg, I don't even know who that is, sadly.
It's one of the creators of the Next Generation.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he watched this movie.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And
that little kernel.
Well, yeah, it's like the assimilation is, you know, and then Spock even says it. He says resistance is futile. He says it in this movie. Wow. And so that guy was watching this movie, and he was like, okay, forget the Cybertron. Aliens that are kind of robotic, and that roboticness makes them it possible for them to communicate like a hive, like bees. And then also, they can assimilate you if you are organic. They can add the cyber.
Because at the very end, they join together. Uh-huh. Birth of the Borg.
The difference is, if
it's a stretch, yes, but I can see where
you're talking about the cyber sex in the end of this movie. I see where you're going with this, like because
they said it was
the very gross birth of the Borg,
right? Yeah. But the thing is,
cyber sex is hot. Come on,
oh my, not 70s cyber sex.
The thing is, like, I mean, maybe obviously, I think the creator totally ripped us off and said, let's make the Borg. But to think that that is the beginning of the Borg, the problem with that is as soon as the Borg met the Enterprise D, the Borg immediately started heading for Earth. So if they'd have met up with V'ger, as they call him, and learned, hey, there's this entire new group of people out there, let's go assimilate them. Because that's how the Borg operate. They see something new and they say, oh, this is nice. You're now part of us.
But if this was the evolution of the race and the creation of the Borg between Leia and Becker,
yeah, it's the revolution. So at this point in history, the Borg aren't what they were.
Right.
Because obviously, had they ran in, first off, had the TOS people ran into
basically
the Borg,
had a bad divorce,
they'd all been wearing they'd all been wearing their brown pants and like literally warping away. Whereas, in the Next Generation, the Borg were, that was a pretty scary. I mean, they were about to put on their brown pants and run away too.
They did.
They tried.
Yeah.
They didn't succeed. But yeah, the thing about the Borg was they obviously, the conception was there with this movie, and I think maybe this movie was conceived like with more of a Borg style feel, and technology did not permit them to do what they wanted to do with this alien. You know what? Mm-hmm. When they're outside of the cloud, they were thinking all these resistance is futile thoughts, and then when they got in the cloud, they're like, "Let's just make it an old satellite. That would be so funny." You know, let's just make it an old satellite from 300 years ago, which would be like right around the 1970s. So they had a 70s model satellite sitting there, and it totally made sense. And as soon as I saw the satellite, I was like, "Oh, get the blank out of here!"
Especially after you spent all that time going through the cloud and through all the different layers of the ship.
Yeah, and it's just this old crappy satellite that got screwed up in the 70s. Like, you know how many satellites we've lost since the 70s? There's going to be so many evil, like, alien satellite entities coming back to destroy the world. Is not even going to be funny.
What was that, Logan? You made a comment?
You forgot the bumpy, not bumpy road.
The bumpy road.
Not bumpy, too.
You explain that a little bit more, because you lost me.
The road that Voyager made to get him to the right at the end while he got
Yeah, that's right, the yellow brick road. They ripped off the Wizard of Oz too.
We made a comment. Okay, he could assimilate all this stuff, he can make it perfectly. Like Logan said, why the hell was it a bumpy road? Why wasn't it flat and smooth so you could just walk across it? And they're going in and out, up and down a little bit. Because
I think, okay, from a visual perspective, from somebody watching it, there was already so much symmetry in the cloud itself.
So much.
That I think if they'd have made it too flat of a road, we wouldn't even have seen it. They needed to make a cobblestone path for us to be like, oh, okay, so they like physically have to walk in space from the Enterprise to
just transport over there.
Well, I wouldn't trust the Enterprise's transporters in that.
True, at that point. Their transporters weren't the best. And they did mention that it was, that needed a shakedown. So that's, and the Enterprise always needed a shakedown, it seems like.
So what had happened to the Enterprise after Kirk ended the 5-year mission and he went off to be an admiral? They went through a refitting because it was a 5-year tour up space vessel.
Pretty much.
And they spent 18 months with this new captain refitting it, getting all ready to do another 5-year mission. Then as soon as it's ready, it's like, hey, watch my race car. And then as soon as it's ready to go back out on the track, like, okay, thanks, I'm back. And jumps in the race car and goes, and you're standing there like, damn it. But at least he let him go with him. And then, of course, if he didn't, they wouldn't have been able to create the Borg and solve our problem for a little while. Like, oh, we fixed it, we saved the day. And then the people from the Next Generation are like, oh, no, you didn't. I can see that, and I can see the fact that the Borg is a little bit different. Like, it would have had to make quite a few evolutionary leaps to get from where it was there to the Hive Mother that wanted Locutus. I forget her name. The female.
The Borg Queen?
The Queen, did she not have an action?
Cause I don't think she does.
She gave Locutus a name, and that was the biggest thing about him that I thought was so cool, was that Picard was so important and such a valuable thing to the Borg that they would actually honor him with a name.
Right.
Because 7 of 9, the X-Borg, you know, they just have numbers of numbers.
Right.
I'm this number of this number in my platoon, no matter how big the platoon was. So, yeah. She was hot too. That was the best part about that show, was 7 of 9. She was super hot.
I thought you said cyber sex wasn't cool.
I didn't have sex with her. I'm just saying that
you said that about
she
70s.
Was cute.
70s. Okay,
yeah. It's not cool in the 70s.
Can we talk about this for a second? Okay, so
sure.
So Kirk gets back. gets promoted admiral. Spock runs off to Vulcan to go through the culinar.
Yep.
Get rid of all his emotion, and no one else gets a promotion.
Yeah, everyone else is just sitting there in the same exact chair. The black lady's like, motherfucker. You know, like, Chekhov's like, didn't one of them get, like, Chekhov get to move over here?
He got weapons.
Yeah, he got security. To move to tactical. Yeah.
Because they needed a new person to fly the ship, because she was going to get...
Because in the series, they didn't have a tactical officer.
No. Well, he ran it from...
Now, what was that race just bald, or was that, like, a Sinead O'Connor moment for that lady, or what was going on with her hair?
Well, what, she was Deltorian?
Something like that. Did we ever see...
Delta 4. She was from Delta 4.
Right, and basically, this is from some of the novels, so I don't know how much canon this is.
I don't care about the canon crap.
The way they explained it is... They are so beautiful. They have these hormones that project, and you basically everybody just falls all over themselves to have sex with them.
Yeah.
So they shave their heads bald and they suppress their hormones so that they can be in
function. And that's why she had a. Right. That's why she mentioned her vow of celibacy being on file, because she's like, I may be Deltorian, but I ain't that kind of Deltorian. You know, I'm not a hairy Deltorian. I'm a bald one. Okay, so now I understand.
Right, because you know that would stop Kirk.
Yeah. Like, the other guy had already had a relationship with her, and Kirk was still trying to kind of put the moves on her until she got whacked, and then he's like, okay, well, she's dead now, so you can have her. You know, he's like, I'm going to go over here and wait for my next hot alien.
True. During the time, this was a cool movie, for nostalgia reasons.
I wasn't born yet, so I don't know.
The other thing that was so weird is most of the characters stayed in the same uniform, which was... bad to begin with, but Kirk had about
16.
The
white one with the really short sleeves and the neck thing going on. That one was so in the Navy gay. I was like, wait, what? That is the worst uniform choice. I mean, seriously, like, and then the one that they came in with that they were all wearing in the beginning, that was a pretty cool uniform.
It wasn't too bad.
And then, okay, they were in this one uniform.
Except the solid gray ones.
After his white one with the little, like, weird collar, they changed into another solid uniform, a solid colored uniform, to talk to the Vigar.
Viger.
And then when they walk outside to talk to Viger, they do a whole new, and then it's all of them. I've swapped into this brown thing with their. Yeah,
didn't you love that jacket? That's a sporty coat there.
I mean, you know, and like, honestly, like, the uniforms were very confusing, and if that had any, because in the TV shows, and I know it's this true for the TOS, in the Next Generation, your uniform was all about your rank. You wore a certain uniform for your rank.
For your station.
Yeah.
For your department.
Yeah,
exactly.
And in the Next Generation especially was like that. And then they had little pins to go on.
I think in TOS they had the stripes on the sleeve that signified rank. And Generation had the pips on the collar.
On the collar, yeah. Because the captain got four of them, but then an admiral got one big one.
And when you think about it, that's kind of going back to a military style when you're operating in the field, because if they're snipers, you don't want an officer to be identified easily.
Yeah.
So I can see where the sleeves...
So Kirk was in, like... Kirk was, like, in disguise.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to get... I'm a super important Federation officer now, so by now, I'm an admiral. I need a wardrobe change every 15 seconds, people. Like, he keeps getting up in the show and walking off of set, and it's to change his uniform. That's exactly what he's doing. He's going for that wardrobe change.
And he's the only one that had that many changes.
Yeah,
any changes at all.
No, I didn't think anyone, except for when they went outside with him and they changed into those awful brown things.
Yep.
Now, if the girls were in those white uniforms that he was wearing, that would have been what's up. But they didn't give that. They didn't get that.
Then they just give, when the probe comes back, Leia just has a bathrobe on.
Yeah. Well, at first, she's naked.
Whoa.
And then they decide, so they're like, wait a minute, this is still the 70s. We're not going to show that. And so then it's like they cut, and then they come back in, and it's like a separate cut. You can even see the cut marks from where they spliced the film together.
She has her shorty robe.
And she has this little tiny bathrobe thing on. And it was very, I mean, I know what they were trying to go for with that.
Well, it kind of showed where... A beautiful woman is a beautiful woman whether she has hair or not, because she was still a beautiful woman without hair. Mm. And that's what they were trying to emulate, because sometimes, you know, you can take off the hair and it's like, ooh, not the best. But with her, it worked.
Yeah.
And I wonder how long
it's the same way with Chewbacca without Harry's tear. Like, you think he's bad now. Don't ever look at a shaved Wookiee. It's worse than a shaved bear. It is truly scary. They have extra smiles in there. It's really creepy. There's like a fourth eye.
Yes. Okay. I trust you on that one. I didn't get any of that Wookiee points.
I've never actually shaved a Wookiee, so I don't know.
But this is one where collectors of the Star Trek franchise definitely, they will already have it in their collection, if not multiple times, a different format.
So sorry, you're not going to make any more money off of it, movie studio. It's as collected as it's going to get.
If you're a library, you'll have it within your collection, and you might pick it up if it gets broken or something, just because it is a standard. I mean, Star Trek and Star Wars, those are two big franchises that every library is going to have.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if you're going to have this series, you're going to have to include this movie.
If you're a small library, you can do it interlibrary loan.
Yeah, just start on Star Trek 2. Just start with 2.
Just kind of pick
it. It's like if you're a horror buff, everyone who's a horror buff will know this, like Halloween 3.
You didn't like The Mask?
Is that the one where
Season of the Witch?
Yeah. I thought that was a cool departure, though.
It was a terrible departure.
But it didn't fit anywhere in the series. But
it made no sense. It's like they seriously got some LSD.
It was Goosebumps.
And they're like, okay, we're going to make a Halloween movie, but this time we're not going to use Michael Myers. We're just going to do whatever we want. Yeah. And it made no sense. And I watched it and I was appalled. This isn't that bad, so, you know, but, I mean, that's one, like, literally, if you collect the Halloween series, it's 1, 2, 4.
I don't know after that.
I don't know what the numbers are, but then eventually it gets to, like, H2O, and, yeah, it gets pretty crazy after that. And the new ones that are remakes, basically, of the original, they're pretty good.
Not too bad. I think, unless there's any other comments, this is a movie that I like just because it's nostalgia, and I see the Enterprise.
It was fun. If you have a good control of your fast forward and, you know, and a little bit of time, you can stay awake.
Right, and the story concept is solid.
Yeah.
Just fast forward through the...
Like I say, if Mystery Science Theater had already cut it down to the 80 minutes of good movie we've got here, then, or 75 minutes... you know, it'd be a lot easier for people to watch and enjoy. And, you know, it's almost like the people, whoever owns the property should take it and remake it just to make it. And I'm not saying, like, make do it like money. George Lucas. Do it like George Lucas. Remaster it. Only instead of adding scenes, crop this bitch. Like, let's get it into something ridiculously, like, less. Like, you need to cut major sequences of Kirk just shining over the Enterprise. Like, for 5 minutes, he's just standing there going...
In the cloud, spaceship. That was what, 10 minutes or 15 minutes?
You know what though? This is William Shatner's favorite movie, probably of all time. This plays on his in his house on a constant loop.
True.
He looked great. This is like 50 years ago, right? He looked great. Yeah,
all of them looked pretty good at that point. But when you start hitting, I think it's 4. Well. Two's not too bad. 3 is all right. Before is when you start seeing the age a little bit. 5 and after.
Well, they've all aged. Something about being in Star Trek is like the elixir of life. Because you mean look at George Takei now. They've all aged really well. Mm-hmm. A lot. I mean, some of them, of course, have passed away. But the ones who are living, Shatner, you got to admit, for as old as he is, that dude looks pretty good. He's starting to go down a little bit now, but he's getting really old now.
But he packed on some poundage there for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying he wasn't kind of big, but he still looked pretty good for his age.
But he didn't do anything for the movies, though. And when we get to those movies, you'll see it. You'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, he could have shed a few more.
Being an admiral finally caught up to him.
So, okay. And when these movies come out, this is like the middle of his career. Like, I mean, he's already been doing... He's been in it for 10 years by the time.
5 was after T.J. Hooker.
Yeah, this came up. This was
probably.
Yeah, this was before T.J. Hooker. And then.
Yeah, this one, 2 and 3, I think, were
probably during. It might have been during.
Around, yeah.
I don't know when he came out.
Because T.J. Hooker, he was in decent shape still. Yeah.
But now in the original series, he was. That's when he was very young.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he was cast simply because he was good looking. That was their entire. justification for putting him in the movie or in the TV series.
They're like, yeah, but we have to have a good looking captain. Get Shatner. Okay. Nailed that.
Yep, he did.
The original series was after Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, wasn't it? The Twilight Zone episode? Okay.
I believe so.
And that was his original, that was the first thing he was in.
I don't know if it's his first thing, but real early work.
Yeah.
Now, DeForest Kelly and Nimoy, they were in some westerns before this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of neat to see some of those westerns and say, oh, that's Dr. McCoy. Oh, mm-hmm. There's Buck. And you're like, oh, man, this feels weird. But anyway, this is one, if you're a Star Trek fan, definitely have it. If you don't, you know, if you're not a fan and just want to watch it, I'm sure your Star Trek buddies will loan it to you or check it out at the library.
They'd love to sit and watch it with you sometimes. They're going to do that.
No, they won't. Don't let them watch.
I just thought they'd want to make fun of you.
it's one of those movies. It's like the prequels from Star Wars. You sit down and watch them once every couple of years to stay current so you remember what's going on. And then you put it away and forget about it. And then you're like, oh, this movie. Have I watched this before? Maybe.
Yes. True. Well, I think that's going to about do it for us for this go-around. Renee, you're up next if you listen to this. So be prepped. It will probably be a couple of months, though, so don't get too prepped too fast. I'll email you. So the next one we'll be looking at will be Wrath of Khan. And like I said, we're going to do a precursor of watching Space Seed before we do that.
From the original series.
From the original series.
So season 1, we'll episode 24.
See, I'm not that bad.
I think that's what it is. It's either 22 or 24. I always get them mixed up.
But before we go, just a few things that we got in on Twitter. The first one is from The Manimals. They want to thank Comic Pop Library for featuring their video, The Ford Talk. And then the other one is from Sharon Knight. She's a Celtic singer and performer. And she wrote out, thanks Richard and Comic Pop Library for the shout out of our Porcelain Princess music video. So, as always, glad to do that, and definitely send us more stuff our way. We'd definitely be glad to feature it on the website as well. Anybody else out there that's interested, you can shoot us an email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com, our Facebook page, look under Comic Pop Library, send us stuff that way. We also have a Twitter account. And we'll read it on the air. So just say hi, if nothing else, and just have some fun. Get a little bit of feedback going. I think that's going to wrap it up. We appreciate everybody listening. We've been having fun. Hopefully you've been having fun listening to us. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.